Orange is the New Black. He's not my president. Episode number 60. Everybody, gosh, it's been a crazy week, hasn't it? But welcome to this week's Keep It 100 moment. I am your host, Nina Babel. And if you follow me, you know I keep it 100. And for those of you who are listening in for the first time, welcome. And in case you're wondering, Keep It 100 simply means that Nina keeps it real and true, right? There's no filters, there's no judgment, and there are no walls in my conversations. But today is my Keep It 100 moment, which means that it's my WTF day, right? It's my What the Friday super short episode. And this one is kind of not going to be the short ones that I normally have because it's a special edition. It's kind of like my PTSD edition where myself and minority voices express and keep it 100 with our emotions after this election.
I approve this message.
And I approve this message.
I approve this message.
I'm proud to approve this message.
Oh my God. We're going to be in weird times. Make America's women hotties and TikTok worthy again.
Oh my God!
She had a student ask her if she was ready to be a slave again starting on Friday.
I was up until maybe 2:30 in the morning. And
same here.
I was just numb.
There's no way to pass up what's been happening in this country, in the United States of A, or the United States of anxiety after this week's elections. If you don't want to hear it, fine. Press the stop key and keep it moving. I mean, we're not peddling victimhood either. I have no choice now but to wait. Not really wait in the literal sense, but I don't have any options until 2018 and 2020, respectively. But in between, I can certainly do what I feel is needed.
I actually have on my Facebook page a 2020 presidential election countdown calendar. So right now it's 3 years, 11 months, 3 weeks, 3 days, 12 hours, 53 minutes, and 50 seconds.
Wow.
And counting. Yeah, so my countdown has begun.
But what does minority America think? I mean, a lot of us are not ready to make nice yet. Like, let's keep it real. But the good thing is we've formed stronger alliances among each other. We're trying to stay positive and seeing what positive things that could come from this whole transition that we're about to undergo in 70 days.
This is New York City. It's rare that you will find a subway car that is quiet unless it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Maybe six. But certainly not at 8 o'clock. The car was silent. And when I say silent, I mean, I'm talking about a full subway car.
Yeah.
People standing up and no one saying a word. It was that surreal. And then coming to work and walking in and people, you know, faces. I mean, I was in an elevator with three professors. One was crying, the other two were shell-shocked. I mean, students walking in. Like, I had one student who was just trying to raise everyone's energy, you know, and it was commendable on his part. But it got to the point where we had, you know, the students organized a town hall because the emotions were running so high. And, you know, you had students who were afraid. I mean, I had one student come to my office and say, you know, she's Muslim, and she's like, please tell me that this didn't just happen. And, you know, another student went to one of my colleague's office and just burst into tears.
So this person they view as the bully will be president in a few months. And in her opinion, he is less qualified.
They knew people who had actually voted for him. And there was this feeling of cognitive dissonance. That was a word that I heard a lot. There was this feeling like they knew what he said. They heard what he said. And yet still they did not, they could not connect it to the people around them and how that could potentially impact them.
This is the election autopsy from Minority Voices. And these voices that you're going to hear today are in the true sense of a minority. Women, African-American, immigrant, Muslim, LGBT. I mean, those are categorically minorities. We're angry, we're sad, and we're in disbelief.
My liberal friends were just like, this is really scary. This is, like, you never heard that about Barack Obama. Like, I would have been almost okay if people said, this is really weird. I admit it. I'm racist. I don't know. It's like, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm not used to seeing black people. I'd actually prefer it.
Yesterday was so surreal because, you know, you wake up on Tuesday morning and, I mean, I got to my polling site and it's a super site, right, where you have all of the, all like maybe five districts in this one school. So I got there and the line was ridiculous.
Huh.
To vote because so many people had turned out.
Wow. Yeah.
So you see that in your neighborhood and you're really proud and you're excited. And people were excited because there were a lot of people. This woman who was standing behind me, she was like, yeah, this is her first time voting. And, so there were people who were just excited to do it, right? And you know you're in a predominantly immigrant community, so you have all these people turning out to vote.
Right.
And then you fast forward 24 hours and you're walking through the same neighborhood and people's faces are shell-shocked. I had two friends yesterday say that they were told to go back to India on Twitter. They were born here.
We shouldn't be laughing either. While Trump, you know what he's doing, right? He's bringing in his circus to the ring. Rudy Giuliani, who's always been fluffing his pillow. Chris Christie is his yes woman with that smirk on his face.
Damn!
Ben Carson, he's back. And then you have Omarosa, who's that has-been apprenticer. She's lurking. She's looking for some kind of spot. And then you have Sarah Palin. And the biggest bigly of them all is Mitch McConnell. Like, you know, he's a kid in the candy store right now, right? He's just salivating at the control that the Republicans have regained in the House, the Senate, Supreme Courts, and the courts. Just period.
There are no checks now. The Republicans currently have the presidency and both houses of Congress.
Right.
There is no... The Democrats are in the minority. There could be some checks because the Senate isn't filibuster-proof. On the other hand, it's going to be very difficult. We're going to see certain measures that President Obama implemented that are going to go away. There are executive orders that are going to go away. Things like DACA for children who were brought here by their parents who were undocumented. That's probably going to go away. Their DARPA, probably going to go away because these items were not legislative. They were executive orders. And in the same way that President Obama signed it, Donald Trump as president can sign it and get rid of it.
Are you listening? Damn.
So I'm not going to play nice here, because these people don't represent my moral compass when it comes to all the minority groups and communities that technically at some point, and I don't recall the actual forecasted year, but we are going to be the majority in this country. But how ironic is it for this country who elects its first black president is now handing over or transitioning to a KKK-endorsed government? Trump met with Obama, who he called the most ignorant president ever, if you remember. So how ironic that yesterday when they met for a transition, how he publicly said, yeah, it's an honor to meet President Obama. Like, I really question his genuineness, but hey, you got to keep it moving, right? Remember, Trump is the instigator of the whole birther movement, right? He thought Obama was a Muslim, a terrorist. But now these enemies turned adversaries are exchanging these, I call it, fake niceties. By the way, did you notice the Obamas had no photo ops in the White House or outside of the White House yesterday like they normally do? They come out of the car, they greet the existing president and FLOTUS. We didn't see that. And I want to bet it was Michelle who sanctioned that. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy,
yeah, shimmy, yeah. You're already seeing the backlash. He created this. It was
right
there. It was there. But people knew that it was unacceptable to say certain things. He has given license to discrimination, as far as I am concerned.
Right. I agree.
And this is our president.
Target's Black Friday ad has been leaked, and the deals are better than ever. Check out the limited time offers on their dedicated Black Friday page right there in the show notes. Get a head start with your holiday shopping. But every media outlet and pollster had it wrong. Dead wrong. I think the only person that really was tracking this right from the beginning is Michael Moore. I was so annoyed at today's edition of Morning Joe. You know, all of them have started this whole normalizing of Trump. Especially Joe Scarborough. But, you know, I would expect that from him because he's a Republican. And like I said earlier, they've regained every seat there is and more. So they're just happy, pappy types. But you know what? When it comes to having selective amnesia with this whole election campaign, and not so much Trump's behavior, because put it this way, according to that MJ staff of two, they're already over it. And they're just looking at the way forward at this point. CNN, on the other hand, they're a Republican-run station, as we all know. And they've officially collected their $200 and passed go. But on a grander scale, you, white America, you have endorsed Trump's intolerances or so-called set them aside. To people who chose emails over racism, she doesn't know what to say to those folks.
I think in 2000, there was a feeling and it was the same issue, right, in terms of popular vote on the Electoral
right
College, right? There was a feeling that there was something wrong with the political system, but you didn't really feel like you were personally attacked. I mean, it was, every campaign season, it gets heated, right? But you didn't feel like you were being personally attacked based on who you were. I think that's the difference. Then it was, it was your political view. Here, you had a candidate who basically attacked you from the beginning of his campaign. Like, Mexican rapists, I mean, talking about, African Americans, talking about Muslims talking about women, talking about the, you know, the differently able, talking, I mean, you name it, he did it.
Yeah, he didn't spare anybody.
He didn't spare, you know, and he personally attacked who you were as a person. And to see that he could do that, and your family, your friends, your neighbors could still justify voting for him, I think it made a lot of people question not just him, but the people who voted for him.
Oh no, my dad is a total Republican. Like, my dad is so Republican, and his mom couldn't get herself to vote for Trump, so she voted for Gary Johnson. So stupid. But yesterday, it was cool. He was really emoting. He was like, you know, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but I kind of feel like I'm kind of happy that if Trump won, that everything is Republican, because we can almost really see the damage he's going to do. And people will really have to understand.
Granted, when voters select the Republican Party as their party, they also voted for Trump in the process. They do not all necessarily support Trump and his beliefs, but they support the party.
If you could hear what he is saying about me and still vote for him, how do you really feel about me as a person? I think that's what happened here, that there are so many people who are questioning many of their relationships.
Okay, so you have the privilege to not have to worry about the next president being a racist and a sexist and a homophobe, because frankly, it doesn't affect you, right? Well, we don't trust Trump or the 52% of you either. What you fail to realize is how much this whole hate thing has stirred up, especially against minorities. The sentiment among us is that everybody is grieving, we're crying, we're upset, we're disheveled. People are sick to their stomach. And for the next 4 years, minorities are going to have to walk in shame, fear, and remember all those candid statements that Trump made, from locking her up to minorities living in the inner city, which is not the case. I don't even, no offense, have never lived in the inner city in my whole freaking life. And, you know, the whole fat shaming. I mean, I could go on. We all know this story. I don't have to go down that road.
The emotional side of me is still trying to reconcile the fact that as part of his campaign, he attacked me. He attacked friends. He attacked family. And, you know, so it's very difficult at this moment to separate.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, I was involved in a campaign on behalf of a candidate who I believe, and I still to this day believe, it was more qualified than the person who won. And
right.
It galls me that the person who was not selected is the person who I think can do the job, because she has been doing it.
Right.
It galls me. You know, we're supposed to be, we were, basically, this was a, you know, 16 to 18 month long job interview. And it felt like, once again, the white man got the job. The less qualified white man got the job over the more qualified woman.
Right. I mean, we had a really good candidate in front of us. She knew what needed to be done.
Right.
And I don't think she would have been status quo. I think the Republicans would have made her status quo, but I don't think she would have been status quo. I think those tears that we saw in her eyes were what I honestly feel. Those tears were gonna be, if she won, those tears would have been her release. Like, finally, I'm here. Now let me do my work.
But now that we've had 48 hours to decompress, I've invited the minority voices to share their thoughts along with me. So myself, I'm an immigrant. I'm Black and I'm a woman. And this has not been like any other election I've participated in. I've never felt this enormous gravity of fear, grief, and disenchantment, like this whole potpourri of PTSD since 9/11. And I was in New York for 9/11, so now you have an idea of how my heart is heavy.
The people's morale should be down. This is like a catastrophe. What happened? It's like a total catastrophe.
Yeah.
And yeah, we need to rally and be positive and move on, not like deal with in a dark hole. But the reality is there may be really bad things that happen.
Huh.
And people in other countries are saying that, but people have this miasma. So, like, what happened is I went to London a few weeks ago. There's another reason why, like, I messed up when I called, when you had wanted me to do something when I was in Dallas, but I was actually really jet-lagged. And so when I started getting sick, but, like, everybody in London, I told you, granted, they're Londoners, and they're probably, like, New Yorkers, but they were like, you guys cannot vote for Trump. He's a monster. Everybody. And I said, do you not want us to vote? And everybody, I have asked the same question. I'm like, because you're worried for us as Americans? They're like, no, we don't care. You guys can do what you want, but it's going to affect the rest of the world.
Okay, so you say you voted for Trump, but okay, Joe Scarborough, because you said this earlier, and that kind of set me off in my mind, but not all Republicans are racist. Okay, so let me guess. You've just overlooked at all his hate-mongering, combative campaign. You've overlooked your interest in the fact that, he's a misogynist, racist, sexist, tax evader, and someone who's settled on employment and racial discrimination suits.
Knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously. In the good old days, this doesn't happen because they used to treat them very, very rough. And when they protested once, you know, they would not do it again so easily. Like the punch him in the face, I'll tell you. I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks.
Which makes me question even more how you're going to make America great again.
It's a very sad reflection of our society, right? That, you know, you could be, you know, it's a sad reflection, you know, a huge reflection of what goes on when you go into an interview on any given day. Or when you are with your male colleagues and their views are taken over yours, or you're
right.
Spoken over, or they make more money than you. It's a reflection of all of that to me.
Funny, because, like, I do remember, like, when I was growing up, people were like, when did you come to this country? Like, and the difference is, like, when I went to California, people are racist in a totally different way. Like, they don't say, like, where's your accent come from? Even though they have a lot of videos of people from, like, San Francisco who make those joke videos, I feel like you see it a lot more in the Midwest, right? Like, in Tulsa, or it's, like, 20 years behind. But the people here literally will say, like, oh, so, like, where are you from? And now I'm a lot more savvy. I'm like, what do you mean, like, do you mean, like, what state I'm from?
Right.
And I can usually, because I just want to see. And then someone goes, yeah, like, your accent sounds like it's from, like, it's American. And I was like, yeah, I just want to make sure that you're not assuming, because I am brown, but I'm from somewhere else.
So there's 70 days left, right? Until inauguration. He deserves a chance to govern, you say, right? I mean, the people spoke. But this is the most unprepared man entering the Oval Office. How about all his international business interests? Doesn't this represent a conflict of interest when it comes to foreign policy? Oh yeah, he's setting up his blind trust, but to his children. To me, that doesn't fly. But hey, that's the kind of radar he flies under. But then let's talk about the taxes that we never even saw or that he even released. I mean, that to me is unprecedented, isn't it? So Congressman Walters was asked whether, you know, she's ready to meet and greet Mr. Trump when it comes to the transition. So hear what she had to say. And I think this is representative of most minorities out there.
Well, the election has taken place, and we have to wait and see who this man is and what he's going to do. I don't believe anything that Donald Trump says. He has lied and distorted information all throughout this campaign. I want to know, when is he going to show us his taxes? I want to know, when is he going to reimburse all those students that got ripped off up at the Donald Trump University? I want to know when he's going to apologize to the disabled journalists about mocking him in front of the children of America. I've never seen anything like this. So are we going to work with him? Which Donald Trump are we working with? If it's the same Donald Trump that has shown himself throughout the campaign, then I don't want any parts of it.
So now we have to start healing, because we are more deeply divided as a country more than ever. Trump is the president, plain and simple. So we all have equal rights and dignity. All I ask is you cherish our minority values, Trump, you and your team, and those of you in America, that 52%, defend them. That will make your America great again. Because this orange character is your new black. By virtue of their higher positions, tradition slash protocol expects elected officials and the 52% of you out there to accept it. No custom or protocol expects average people to do so, okay? So just give us a minute, because we don't have to just roll over and play dead and accept this right at this minute. Remember the Tea Party? That was the whole group of people who didn't accept President Obama. We don't have to be the bigger people right now, because they certainly weren't. So the way forward, as Michael Moore puts it so simple and eloquently, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Plain and simple, we all agree. The majority of our fellow Americans preferred Hillary over Donald. Period fact. So you thought, or you're thinking, or you will always think you lived in an effed up country. The majority of Americans wanted Hillary, people, not Trump. The only reason he's president is because of this 18th century idea called the Electoral College. And unfortunately, until we change that, we have to continue to elect and accept people, presidents that we didn't want. The agenda and the road ahead. What can you do going forward? I mean, Donald, my advice to you is that you can't pop off at 12:12 a.m. tweeting. I mean, that's very unpresidential. And it hasn't really been 24 hours since your initial transition. You mentioned to Obama, you need to be back in office working on your transition. And just leave the protesters alone. In fact, you should be denouncing the KKK celebration that took place yesterday in your honor. And you know what? Unlike other presidents, there's no past presidents you can call on as your equal for help and guidance. He needs to make people feel comfortable who felt and continue to feel uncomfortable. It's really, really hard to be excited about our futures. It really is.
We don't have to wait until 2020. There's 2018.
Right, 2018.
So, you mean the 2020 is the presidential, 2018 is the midterm. And that's the, you know, that's the main difference, I think, between us Democrats and the Republicans. They went to the local level and worked their way up. It's the reason that that there are so many states that have Republican governors and Republican legislatures. It's the reason that so many states are gerrymandered and there are so many more Republicans in the House of Representatives than there are Democrats. And it's going to be very difficult for that to change because the Republicans did their work. While we were looking big picture at the presidential, they were looking at the trees. I think now it's a matter of people trying to figure out what to do, because it's one thing to see, you know, my emotions have swung, you know, from one extreme to the next, right? You know, so it's like in one hand here, it's like anger, and the other hand, it's numbness, and you can't go like that on like that forever. So it's like, okay, so what's next?
I work at a school that is very culturally mixed. We've had lots of different opinions from children. And as educators, we try to keep our politics out of the classroom. But it has been very hard to see what is on their hearts and minds this week. We have a teacher in fifth grade. She is a very strong Black woman who is an activist. She's intelligent. She has a master's degree. She is one of the people that I respect most at my job. In education. She's a wonderful human being. She had a student ask her if she was ready to be a slave again starting on Friday. I don't know where the student got that, but that is a horrible, horrible thing to say to another human being. And I don't think that she even understood, the student understood the significance of that or what that really meant, because she didn't mean it maliciously, as the teacher said. It was an honest question, and that is very sad that an honest question like that is being asked. A student of Mexican heritage who is not super fluent in English, but has grown a lot in the 3 years that I've worked with her. She wrote one sentence on a piece of paper that we gave them to just kind of write out their feelings on the election and any questions that they had. And all she wrote was, "All I know is that today after school, I have to go home and pack to go back to Mexico." That's what she thought she and her family had to do. It's probably how they felt. We're not supposed to share politics, but I made sure to lean over to her, give her a hug, and tell her that I will always fight for her to stay, and that she didn't have to worry about that. And I had a little white girl ask if all of her Black friends were going to have to go back to Africa. Her American citizen Black friends were going to have to go back to Africa. That is a shame. And it is sad. And we tell them to grow up strong and grow up fast and vote and to know that their lives and their voice matters and that they are in this together and that they are good and they are smart and they will always have each other, but we have got to stick together. And ultimately, we will see the good and good will win. Love is stronger.
Sometimes when people say to be peaceful or forward-thinking, it just becomes yet another round of avoidance. It is okay to analyze what was, such that you can take the lessons learned and apply them in the future. How about we choose to use our angst, distress, sadness, and confusion to stay open to the signs, patterns, and messages that we are getting all around us? How about we don't quell those difficult emotions, feelings, and thoughts with alcohol, goofy new age talk, weed, or another day at the gym, and use it to read and get the facts? Let's have the difficult conversations that would allow us to really learn through active listening and try to build bridges with people that aren't in our tribe. Maybe then we also wouldn't be so shocked when things didn't work out the way they did in our own echo chambers of like-minded folks. 5 of my students from the ages of 16 to 19 called me weeping or worried the night of the election. They are all brilliant, thoughtful, and will lead the next generation. Yet they called me for comfort. I can only show them comfort if I have walked the walk in my own shoes. They actually comforted me because they were willing to go deep and get to the heart of what was bothering them about this election and its results. I want to show through example as a grown woman that they are going to be okay. I want to show that difficult things are okay if we just stay patient with those issues, problems, and feelings. Anybody who is in their early adulthood and on needs to stand up strong and remember that we are mortal, and it's imperative that we fight our own internal battles such that we can stand tall as proud examples for those in the next generation.
And that's our Keep It 100 moment. I'm going to meditate this weekend or stay off the television. I've been peeled to the television nonstop. And I think, and this reminded me of 9/11, where I could not just stop grieving and listening and just being sucked in by all this PTSD behavior. No offense to people with that diagnosis. I'm just using it as an analogy so you understand my mental. So that's my Keep It 100 moment. Smooches!